And certainly it is that amazing love that brings us together this morning. Greetings in the name of our Lord. Just a thank you to those of you who have been remembering our family, the two of us in prayer in particular. Susanna's surgery went well, and she's going through the normal convalescing and healing process, and we really appreciate the interest and your prayers that you have, that are obvious to us. Thank you. I'd like to look this morning at a subject that that sort of grows on me as time goes on, and that is loving His appearance. If you turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'd like to read 8 verses from there. Some years ago, as I read this verse, I saw something that I had never quite seen before. Paul here speaks in verse 8 about the coming of or his final the crown that the crown of righteousness that he will receive from the righteous judge that shall give him that day. But then he says there's a bit of a caveat that he offers when he says, follows up by saying, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, the caveat is this. It's talking about us. It says, all and to everybody else too, but to those that love his appearing. And it sort of jolted me as I looked at that, and I saw that this, in some ways, is sort of a, I'm not sure you want to call it an acid test, but at least it is something that indicates whether you and I are a part of that, a part of receiving Him joyfully. Maybe I should say it this way, a part of those who receive the crown of righteousness. And I want to look at that a little bit more after a bit, but I would like to read the first 8 verses. And as I do that, if you, as best as you can, imagine the Apostle Paul, putting yourself in his shoes, I think it's fair to say that the Apostle Paul so served God his entire life with sincerity. And during part of his life, he was sincerely wrong with how he handled it. But he was still sincere. And so he'd poured out his heart, his life, and all that he did for God. And now he comes to the end of his life, and he seems to know in this, by the way he writes in this passage, that it's getting close, and it's only a short time till he will be ushered into the presence of his Lord. And he is looking forward to that crown of righteousness that he is to receive. And as he writes this short passage to, it's the book of 2 Timothy, but it is in these words, he's sort of making a farewell to a man that he is trusting to take forward the gospel, the purpose that he lived for and now he's dying for. Now someone else is coming along. And so listen as I read. And then we'll look at, have a few comments after that. In verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The Apostle Paul sort of seems to, in this, the last, in about verse 6 and 7, seems to establish his right to this crown. Maybe not establish his right, but at least he talks about what has brought her to this place. And certainly, the Apostle Paul was, while I'm sure that like every human, the thought of losing life is not something that we relish, it was something that he was not fearing either. And so here he says that in that day he shall receive a crown of righteousness. But he says, not only I, but all those who love his appearing. Have you ever wondered what your response, let's say you are living when Christ returns. Have you ever wondered what your response will be? Is it going to be one of, oh, here he is? Or is it going to be one of, oh, here he finally is? Maybe you don't think of those things, but I have in the past wondered, what will my response really be? Not because I'm hiding something that I think will bring me judgment, but, you know, to think of facing the righteous judge without, complete rest and excitement to see him coming is something because we've never been there, we don't know exactly how we will respond. I've told some of you have heard this story before, and so if you have, pardon me. But the night before we buried Brother Mervyn, I had a dream. And the dream went something like this. I was, I can't tell you for sure. It seems like I was standing at the cemetery in the West Center Cemetery, and all of a sudden, above me, in the sky, there was written in exquisite engravings in glass and crystal, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward man." And I didn't know what that meant. And then about that time, there was this bright light that shone straight from above. And I got all excited. I said, this must be his coming. But the euphoria only lasted for a few seconds as I realized, woke up. This is just a dream. Now, you may wonder, so what does that dream tell me? I'm not sure it tells me anything, but it was comforting to me to, at least in the dream, get all excited about Jesus coming. When at times I wonder, well, why will I say, well, I wish I could hide just for a little longer or something, or will I read it turn to the eastern sky or northern, or wherever he comes from, I'm not sure. I think we have some scripture that indicates he might come out of the east. And so sometimes when I see clouds, wherever they are, and the sun breaks through, I wonder, is that what it's going to be like when he returns? Well, the question is not so much, we probably can't answer with any exactness what we will feel when he comes. But the Apostle Paul points out something here that I think is for me has been instructive. And sometimes we talk about his coming, and we talk about, well, he'll be coming, and we do it with a certain amount of maybe sometimes excitement, other times rather matter-of-factly that he's going to be coming back and so forth. And so there are different reasons probably why we might love his appearing. But the Apostle Paul says that those who receive the crown of righteousness are people who are going to love who are loving his appearing. So what does that mean? What does it mean to love his appearing? There's a couple of questions that this raises. The one is, how do I love his appearing? And the other question is, why do I love his return? And I think the question about how do I demonstrate that I love his appearing has to do with how we focus. What are the things that we really care about? The things that are important to us? What are there things that we just hope happen yet before he comes back? Now, I know that I had really hoped to get married before he comes back. It just... You know, the weeks ahead of my wedding, I just said, surely the Lord would give me that yet. So there are those things that we hope and wish for that could happen before he comes back, because somehow in our earthbound mind and mentality, we think that there's got to be something here yet that we ought to experience. Maybe it's the birth of your first child or your first grandchild or whatever. Can't we at least experience that? Well, that night that I had that dream, the euphoria that I felt is unequaled by anything else I've experienced. And so just rest assured that if he beats you to your best, to your most hoped for dream, it will be much better than you could possibly dream. So our focus, I think, is an indication of where our love lies. Secondly, the question, I just realized that my time, can I have about 3 more minutes? I think I can get it done in about 3 minutes. I wanted to say this too as well, that while we love his appearing, it's been said that we should build as though we were going to be here for 100 years, but we should live as though his return will be tomorrow. Now, there's always all kinds of ways you can slice and dice that. But the idea in the overarching idea is this: let's plan and let's build as though we'd be here for quite a while. In other words, don't just park and do nothing and wait for his appearing. It is not so much waiting, I think the scripture speaks about, as it is watching for his appearing. So that said, the second question that I'd like to look at then is, why do I love his return? And I think this to me is key to understanding whether or not we really love his return. So why do we love it? There's about 3 reasons that I think of, and could be many more, I'm sure. Is it because there is so much evil around us, and we just think, Lord, you've got to at some point bring a halt to this? Can I remind us ourselves this morning that the evil that we are living in today, amongst today, is something that has been experienced over the millennia, over and over and over again by Christians. In fact, what we experience today in our country, what we feel like we're headed for, you don't know what it's, I say you don't. None of us really understand how nice we have it and how God has blessed us here. And I remember a trip coming back from Europe at one point, and I stepped back into the United States, and there was just a light about this place that I didn't sense so much when I lived for a short time I don't know what era you would call it, but it's at least post-Christian. It's just dying. It's just dead. And so what we're experiencing today is there's just no comparison to what people have been through before. So sometimes we get tired of the evil, and can't the Lord just come and be done with this? That's probably an okay reason to wish for his coming, but it's pretty self-centered. I think it is. The other question is, I'm just plain tired. Or one other reason we might wish for his return is that we're just plain tired of the work, of the fighting, of going on. And so we want him to come back and rescue us from this. We want rest finally. And not all wrong, but just saying we ought to think about why we really want this. The third reason I think of is that we love our Lord and we're so eager to see him. Now, that to me is probably the best reason to love his appearing. And so if that is the case, it will impact the way you and I think and live and plan and do. So the question this morning is, when you receive this crown of righteousness, or as you receive it, will you receive it, or do you love it because of him or because of what it gets you out of. My challenge to you this morning is, let's love is appearing, because it will be Him that we see. For all the things that people say, I'm going to ask the Apostle Paul, I'm going to ask the Apostle Peter why he did this and why Jesus did that and so forth. We might. Frankly, I doubt it. I think we will be so enamored with who He is and what He has brought us that those things will fade into oblivion. May God help us to love His appearing. Let's kneel and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pause in gratitude that You have called us to be Your children through the blood, through the sacrifice that Your Son made on Calvary's cross. And there's a day when He comes back to receive us to Himself. Lord, we pray, and we know that He's excited about that day because He'll be coming back for His bride. And I pray, Father, that we will be just as excited we can't be just as excited, but at least, Lord, may we have the eagerness to see our groom that befits the blessing, the salvation, the grace that He has granted us through the shedding of His blood. Our Father, I pray that each one of us will find ways to live out our love for His return in a way that helps us to love that return, Your return, even more. And may we be faithful and share Your goodness and Your grace with those who don't know for sure if they love His appearing. Watch over us this day. May You bless each aspect of this service for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.